The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'm George Eliason, and this is the radio broadcast from TNT breaking the news of the War of the Worlds. In front of the microphone, you won't be hearing from armchair generals and think tankers paid to run propaganda for NATO and the Biden administration. Our microphone is fitted with a special filter to keep the propaganda and false expertise out. This is not the hour for repeating what you've already heard and rehashing what you already know. This isn't the crosstalk of reporters pushing their bylines in exchange for your money. This isn't the BBC's hard talk with its soft-centered confectionery manufactured at the Foreign Office and MI6. They are the alien invaders. This is the hour when you'll be able to hear the news breaking from the news fronts throughout Europe and from your ears to your brains. Not the alien invaders, but the fresh, original human analysis of what the breaking news means. So sit tight. Here goes. And welcome to War of the Worlds. We've just passed the anniversary of Nord Stream. And there's, new stories circulating now. Seymour Hersh did an update to his original story. And quite frankly, it is horrific. It is a horror show. And I'm going to explain why. You could understand if Hersh got this wrong the first time around. Anybody's human. It happens. But to double down on a story that you know is wrong and push it as the truth, the only truth, and using your name built up over decades as a stellar investigative reporter, journalist, to push this kind of fabrication is just outrageous, and it's beyond me. You see, I grew up in an era where Hersh first became famous. When I was a kid, his name was one of the few journalists that I knew about, and I'm talking about a little kid, and we're talking about his uncovering the My Lai massacres. It was very courageous at the time. And it was a story that helped put America back on its moral footings for a little while, because America had to take responsibility for what happened there. But what this story is doing and showing is that you can't always rely on a name or a reputation to get the right story and to understand your world. And it's why facts and evidence matter. Journalists, no matter what their reputation is, are not gods. Journalists can get stories wrong. But in this case, getting it wrong and then adding to that fiction is what I found so outrageous in this. Well, what do I mean? Seymour Hersh's story is that the Biden administration ordered the Nord Stream attacks, and it was done with Navy SEALs using massive amount of explosions. Now, the explosions themselves were felt all around the region. They were recorded. The seismic data is there. That's very real. Hersh said that Biden did this to keep the Germans in line so they would keep supporting the Ukrainians. That assumption is false. I have no idea where he came up with this fiction. But the reality is this. If we go back to the summer of 2021, the Greens were signaling to Biden that they were in sync with him. Then they went through the election in November 2021, and they lost magnificently. And what seems to be the help of the Biden administration, they negotiated themselves into being the power brokers of the German government. Annalena Baerbock, foreign minister, Robert Habeck, the deputy chancellor, minister of economics and the environment. And in German politics, that controls everything. Their sister party with the same values got the Ministry of Defense. So we have a perfect trifecta here to overpower, overshadow anything that Olaf Scholz had in mind, if he had anything different in mind to begin with. Now, in August of 2022, Scholz said he might resign because of the rising fuel costs. They were going to be out of control, and he didn't want to be remembered for that. And that might actually be what a little information that Hirsch is basing his story on that's correct. Scholz knew that he would be in trouble with the German people, but that's as far as it goes. If we go up to September 5th, 2022, now this is weeks before Nord Stream, Germany remakes its security policy, and it makes the existence of the Nord Stream gas pipes under the Baltic Sea a national security threat. And it was a threat, according to this security paper, they were willing to take on unilaterally. That's right. Now, this is a paper that the article that I just published, I've included it so it can be reviewed. When something is a national security threat, and the original paper, as it's written, is titled Stopping Russian Aggression. And the Nord Stream pipeline was part of that Russian aggression, according to the Greens. What do countries do when there's an aggressive security threat? They react. And that's what happened. Now, if we go to September 9th and 10th, Baerbock was at the Yalta European Strategy Meeting in Kiev, and she was interviewed by Fareed Zakaria. Now, Zakaria congratulated her on the coup that she pulled off, her party pulled off in the election, coming in third and ending up sitting in the most powerful seats in the government, the ministries. It was a coup. Baerbock agreed, but said it was legal. And he asked her, he congratulated her on reversing Germany's energy and foreign policy, and asked her if they'd be able to hold that line. And she said that February was when that happened. So February 2022. Now, this was when Russia's military operation started in Ukraine. As soon as they came across the border, the Greens had a reason that they could start sending weapons to Ukraine and they could start being hostile to Russia. Up until that point, the Greens were handcuffed by the Minsk agreements. Remember, Germany was one of the guarantors of peace, supposedly. Merkel made it clear what that meant afterwards, allowing Zelensky to build his army. God, this is like the fourth time that's happened in the region. But that tied their hands to that point. Does this sound like a country that's standing, that might fade away from Ukraine when they're biting at the bit to send weapons? The Green Party had been supporting the neo-Nazis in Ukraine since 2014. They actually represent Right Sector, Azov Battalion, and all these other what they call territorial protection battalions in the European Parliament. Does it sound like they were going to run away? This makes the political side of what Hirsch is saying is the reason for Nord Stream non-existent. I mean, really think about it. If Biden's going to do this to keep the Germans in line so they support Ukraine, and quite frankly, they were supporting Ukraine a lot longer, a lot harder, and with a lot more force than what Biden was doing the entire time, why would he need to blow up a pipeline, impoverish their country to keep them in line? It makes no sense. The other reason, Hirsch says, is to keep Russia from escalating and bringing more troops into the war zone. They're in a war. How is this going to change things? How did this change that? If anything, if Russians took this story seriously, that Biden was actually behind this, it'd be a good reason to really escalate. And of course they didn't. Now, why did Seymour Hirsch need to get this to happen back in June? You had the Baltops, which was the NATO flotilla that was on the Baltic and included the United States. For his story to work, the United States had to be there. Now, a big problem with this is when you put explosives in salt water or anything in salt water for 3 months, you're putting it at the whims of the weather, the marine life, corrosion. A lot of things could happen underwater and make those explosives unusable. That's just reality. And the same with anything you put under salt water. So for the sake of getting the United States involved, technically, he had to put it back that way. Now, before Nord Stream started, there was another bilateral exercise going on called Baltic Tiger. Baltic Tiger was between Germany and Latvia. And for 9 days, Germany was moving their ships across the water. They were practicing convoys going across the water. They had everything down to salvage and minesweeper ships involved, which would have been very, very easy to do. Now, given that you had this exercise going on right then, and you had ships on the water as Nord Stream was actually exploded, what made this impossible for him to even consider? There was no U.S. involvement. The bombs had to be hundreds of pounds of explosives. And, you know, getting into this, hundreds of pounds of explosives at 4 different sites. Well, it sounds like a great story. And as I said earlier, we have the seismic data that said something big happened. But the problem for Hirsch's story is that Jeff Brodsky, in an expedition, went out and did a single survey of all 4 sites that actually occurred. Now, at the other sites that Hirsch is talking about where massive volumes, massive lengths of pipe are missing. That would seem to corroborate his story until you see the one that he left out. And this is really, really important. And it is the crux of the whole bomb and explosion itself. You see, the one site that this massive explosion length of pipe missing didn't happen at was the single location where there was no pressure in the pipe. So what you have is what's left after just the explosion itself. No outside additives, no interference, no anything. The site itself exists today, showing the blast crater, which is very tiny. It was, according to Jeff, about 6 meters across, very tiny. And the pipe was perforated. But because there was no pressure, the pipe itself stayed intact other than the blast site. So what happened at the other locations? And it could have been as little as 6 or 8 kilos of explosives exploded. They blasted through the pipe or damaged it enough that the pressure inside was too great and the pipe burst. Now, if you ever seen a pipe burst, whether it's water, steam, or anything else, it tears the pipe apart. And we're not talking about normal low pressure situation or medium pressure. We're talking about a high pressure line with a lot of gas volume in it. And that is what tore the Nord Stream pipelines apart and tore out those lengths of pipe. The explosives didn't need to be overdone. And that massive pressure release is what gave the seismic recordings the data that they got. That's what caused it. So Hirsch doesn't have the political reasons or motivation to do this. That's out of the way because the Germans were in sync. The bombs themselves, you have to ignore the actual data from the site to agree with what Seymour Hirsch is saying. You actually have to ignore the data. Now, we're going to take a quick break, and I want to get into the divers a little bit. Now, are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio? And do you think we're doing a good job? Well, then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
I want you to listen to this.
You know,
That was an exchange from Wednesday night's GOP presidential debate at the Reagan Library. The debate was a disaster. Lots of arguing and talking over each other. The moderators losing control often. It was hard to watch. And then there was this from tough guy, self-appointed Trump attacker, Chris Christie.
And I want to look in that camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching, okay? And you're not here tonight. Not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
That led to some boos, and the official parody account for Donald Trump on X posted to Christie, "And you're Porky Pig." Good comeback. But all in all, the winner was the man who was absent, Donald Trump. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Never has an epic battle of light and dark become more apparent.
Big Pharma controls Congress. It controls the media.
We need to stop outsourcing our health to others, to regulatory authorities and wealthy billionaires.
You guys have been proven right. It's unreal.
There's a bigger agenda driving this, and this agenda is about life and death.
You are in a war. Someone's trying to kill you. You have to decide whether you want to live or not.
Unless all of us resist, never again is now.
The FDA is underwritten by the pharmaceutical industry to a tune of 45% of their entire budget comes directly from the pharmaceutical industry, and that's millions and millions of dollars that have captured the FDA.
The truth is on our side, the science is on our side, these ethics are on our side.
Now it is the job of everybody in this crowd to go out and fight back, to resist, and to reclaim our government. To reclaim our lives, to reclaim our liberty for our children, for our country, and for all future generations. And I can tell you this, I will stand side by side with you, and that if I have to die for this, I'm going to die with my boots on.
We are the Children's Health Defense. Join the movement today. Visit childrenshealthdefense.org to find out more. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
We've come so far as a nation. We are the envy of the world. And our future is limited only by our belief in each other.
Now we have a choice to make. Do we give in to guilt and division? Or do we say no?
No to those who want to divide us.
I've decided to vote no because the voice will divide us.
No to those people who think all Indigenous Australians think the same.
We are not all the same, and there's a lot of us Aboriginal people that are voting no.
No to those who want to change the rule book of the country.
Why let them divide us? Because we are all Australians. We are one mob.
Come on, Australia. Let's stay united.
Vote no to the voice of division.
Authorised by Matthew Sheehan, Advance Australia, Canberra.
You're listening to War of the Worlds with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back, and what we're discussing, we're dissecting Seymour Hersh's Nord Stream story, and, you know, quite frankly, and unfortunately, these go beyond having flaws in it. Now we get to the divers. Now, Hersh is insistent that these are Navy divers. And as a matter of fact, in his updated story, he actually quotes the divers. They told him personally. This right here, this one thing, is enough to disqualify Seymour Hersh's story from having a shred of truth in it. Really think about this. There are very, very few divers in the world, and we're talking in the neighborhood of hundreds of people in a world where there are billions of people that are qualified to do this kind of work. That depth is that difficult to work in. You really need to know what you're doing. So these divers who do top secret missions for agencies, these Navy SEALs talk to Seymour Hersh. Well, here's the problem. They do secret missions. They are under, they're not allowed to discuss. And this is the single biggest sabotage operation in the history of the world. Really think about that. This is something that will never be available as under a federal request for information act request. This was something that would never be declassified. So what does this mean? by Seymour Hersh saying that these divers talked to them, he's just ID'd them for arrest for revealing the what, according to Hersh, would have become the greatest, one of the greatest national secrets in history, protecting this. Whoever spoke to them would lose his world 10 minutes after Seymour Hersh published, because they would be picked up. There's only five or six of these guys. They're already ID'd. Seymour Hersh did that by saying one of them talked to him. What do you think the jail sentence is for something like that? Now we're getting into, if we look at Julian Assange, you know, we're looking at almost multiple hundreds of years. And here's the real truth. If what Hersh said was true, these guys are very identifiable, it is akin to an atom bomb next to the matchstick that is the information that Julian Assange published. It's that much larger. These men would be facing probably close to 100 years in jail because they got mentioned as anonymous team members in one sentence in an article. Was it worth it? These people aren't that, you know, they're not stupid. The people that do top secret work, they know what they sign on for, and this isn't their first rodeo. They've been doing it for probably 10, 12 years before they even qualify to do something like this. They do different things. The average Navy SEAL or SBS or even salvage diver isn't qualified to do this. It is a specialty. Very, very few out of very, very many actually work at these depths. Seymour Hersh, by his casual identification of the dive team, negates the fact that he talked to them at all. It just wouldn't happen that way. It's not a matter of whether or not they would willing to risk going to jail. Talking to her, being in that article as unnamed, is a jail sentence. I mean, if I was their boss, it would go something like this. I'd call a meeting after reading Hersh's story or being ripped out because the story was there and it mentioned my guys, one or the other. I'd have all the guys come, of course. Me, myself, I would stop at Starbucks. I'd get them all coffees. And I'd also pick out a dozen of the sweetest, wokest croissants I could find and make sure that, you know, I put it all on the table for them. And when they settled in, I'd only have two sentences to say. Hey, boys, I hope you're having a great morning. And then either one of you or all of you are going to spend the next 100 years in prison, in a very dark place. And then I'd leave. The reality is this: if only one of these divers spoke to Seymour Hersh and the other ones didn't speak up right away, they're guilty of abetting somebody that was doling out really top, top secret information to a journalist. They would all go to jail. Do you see that happening? That's reality. Now, would they buy him coffee and croissants first? No, obviously not. But, you know, we need to be a little entertaining here. So you see the problem with this. There is no unnamed diver. There couldn't be. unless the guy was committed to a slow motion suicide in prison, which is a hell of a commitment, it couldn't have happened. This tears up Seymour Hersh's total narrative. Now, do I have anything against Hersh? Yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely not. When I read, and it was the next line, his justification, he actually said, I've won awards at major news outlets for stories with no evidence or sources, so trust me. That's the story. That's the story. And I'll repeat again, journalists are not gods. The only being in existence that has a right to say, just trust me, is God. That's it. The rest of us need to provide facts, evidence. We need to back up what we say. That's why there are written contracts. That's why when we even approach something with as a handshake deal, I trust you, it's with caution. Seymour Hersh, if he was telling the truth, the only recourse is nuclear war. And whether or not Russia is willing to take that step, it makes the United States look monstrous. And I'm not just talking in a sense of evil. I'm talking in a sense of strength versus a little weak Russia. What are you going to do? Come on, Vlad, what are you going to do? Yeah, we did this, Vlad. What are you going to do? Oh, nothing, huh? That's where it puts it. The other options Russia has would be, to cut the undersea internet cables, communication cables. But where does that lead us back to? Back to nuclear war again, almost right away. So Hersh's story puts us into that trope. It pushes us into the place on the edge where diplomacy isn't warranted, it isn't needed, it can't be used. This, like I said, is so far beyond what Julian Assange did. Now, I support Julian Assange, and in real terms, what they want to put him on trial for, in some cases, he was the second or third publisher of the information. He wasn't even the first. It's garbage. And yet, look at how long he's been in prison. Look at how much suffering he's gone through all these years. And now we're looking forward to trials in the U.S. Seymour Hersh has gone beyond that at a scale that's beyond understanding for the human mind, if this story was true. Hersh has been walking around freely. No one's tried to extradite him. I'm sorry, he's actually in the United States. No one's had to go to the gas station and fill up the tank and go pick him up yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? If his story was true, Seymour Hersh would have been picked up as a national security threat. He would have been tried on the same charges as Assange. Seymour Hersh is a free man. Seymour Hersh is towing the line somewhere for someone. And that's something that will be interesting when that starts breaking. Me personally, I don't have any answers. I really don't care at this point. But this man is using his name to move an investigation of a crime away from the criminals and into an area that makes the entire world unsafe. It makes it unsafe for you, your children, your loved ones, nieces, nephews, wife, husband. Instead of actually getting to the bottom of something, a real story, Hirsch has ignored the evidence that is there. And yes, I actually have the inside scoop right now on that part of things. In favor of pushing a story that he made up. That's the issue I have with this particular story. And quite frankly, I think everyone should. And it's not a matter of agreeing with me. You don't have to. But what you need to do is say, hey, Seymour, show us the beef. What are we talking about here? Because like I said, he's already ID'd these divers. Well, so, you know, okay, you've already done the worst of it. Let's get the rest of it out of the way, Seymour. What do you think? He can't because it doesn't exist. And that's a fact. I'm George Elias, and this is TNT Radio, and we'll be right back after these messages.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Disastrous flooding in Greece. Disastrous flooding in New York City. What is going on here? Well, I'll tell you what, the water temperatures are warmer than what they've had been in the Northwest Atlantic through the Mediterranean. In fact, the entire globe, almost, the water temperatures are higher. But this is not because of carbon dioxide. This is because of something I've been pushing for the last 2 or 3 years, the increase in underwater volcanic activity. You see, the carbon dioxide feedback that is supposed to warm the atmosphere and the ocean can only penetrate a millimeter or two of the ocean. In the meantime, sunlight, of course, will penetrate down close to 1,000 feet. But what if you're heating things from below? And it's my opinion that the things that you're seeing because of warm oceans is actually the way to prove our point. And yet, what you're seeing, of course, is, oh, this is climate change is because of man-made emissions and all this other stuff. But it almost literally cannot be because of the amount of energy it takes to actually warm the ocean. Now, when is this going to change? Well, I guess only God knows, because until we can shut off that underwater increase in volcanic activity, the oceans are going to continue to try to warm. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
At Smile Train, we envision a world where every child with a cleft has the opportunity for a healthy, happy life. Children with clefts often struggle to eat, to speak, even to breathe. Addressing every challenge often requires more than a single surgery. That's why Smile Train empowers our medical partners to care for the whole patient and provide ongoing comprehensive cleft care. Comprehensive cleft care includes speech services, life-saving feeding and nutrition programs, psychological counseling, orthodontics, dental care, diagnostic, and hearing services. Smile Train supports these essential treatments for as long as each child needs to reach their full potential.
Visit smiletrain.org to donate and change a child's life forever. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
Emergency, police, fire or ambulance?
Yeah, I'm just passing through.
Police, fire or ambulance?
I can see a whole lot of smoke.
What town are you calling from?
I'm on a mobile phone.
I need the town.
Yeah, there it is. I can see flames. There appears to be a kid or something at the window.
It's okay.
You guys are better out. This is serious.
Hello?
000's sole job is to connect you to emergency services. If you stay focused and just answer the prompted questions, you'll get help faster.
Affordable housing. We can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, we're back. Welcome to War of the Worlds. Now, we've been discussing the issues with Seymour Hersh's articles, and quite frankly, there are many. Now, it's important to... And this is, you know, across the board because it's causing issues. And, you know, the funny thing is I've exposed a lot of this fact checker garbage stuff that's going all around over the years. I actually, when it was first introduced, I was doing stories on it before it was introduced. I'm really against it, but... More so, journalists that don't or can't provide evidence for what they're saying. Now, there are some cases where you have an emergency, something going on, and you need to get that information out. And yeah, okay, this is happening. It's a developing story. You lay that out, and the facts will follow later. Okay. But Nord Stream, the facts were there. They were there. And they were ignored. Now, I really, to be honest with you, I feel a little odd because I broke the Nord Stream here story here in early October 2022. I did it... I think it was around the 2nd or 3rd of October on the Mike Ryan show, and then I did a couple shows on this, and I laid the whole thing out. Now, I'm going to lay out a few of the high points on this, and you're going to see the difference between trust me and, oh, it was imaginary Navy SEALs who talked to me. And, oh, by the way, Navy SEALs don't have the qualifications to do this kind of work to begin with. They do not. It would be DEVGRU or above. That's SEAL Team 6. They're technically not Navy SEALs anymore. It's a different group. Like Delta Forces to a regular Army group. They're an entirely different thing with a different specialty, we'll say. But what I laid out last October and what we'll discuss now is actual proof. In 2016, the Ukrainian diaspora opened up a dive school. And the first year, these divers were trained to 5 meters. Okay, which doesn't sound like much when you're looking at 90, but that's the first year. In 2017, after they had them trained up on basic diving, now this basic diving is what Navy SEALs are trained in, by the way. You had to have to start with that, then you do combat diving and navigation, and that's it. They don't need to go to depths like that. In 2017, Ukraine's interest shifts to deep water military diving. And the SBS was there to train them. The British SBS trained them and the German dive instructors started training them in the Baltic Sea to get them used to cold water diving in dry suits for the first time. Now, both groups taught them underwater navigation, and in the Baltic, they learned to find objects underwater at depths. They also learned to equalize pressure at different depths before surfacing. That's called dive stops. And the reason that's important is when you go down to depth, you have a buildup of gases in your bloodstream, and it has to equalize and dissolve before you come up, or you need to go to a decompression chamber. Now, if you use dive stops, which is stopping at a depth for a set amount of time, you do this coming up at different depths, you do not need that decompression chamber anymore. They were also going deeper. On paper, they were going to 30 meters. They learned to navigate, again, pitch black water, anything over 20 meters, well, 10 meters in the Baltic, and there's no light. They also got their own diver training center, and the training pool is 40 meters deep, and that's what they were training to. This is 2017. They were gaining practical experience in the Dniester River, and again, being trained by SBS technical divers, which dive to depth, and German technical divers, which are giving them the qualifications as they go year by year by year. In 2017, they also learned to use what's called scooters, diver propulsion vehicles underwater, and navigate using them. This is the means to get around, okay, and do stuff so you're just not swimming. In 2018, they focused on supporting the Ukrainian Naval Special Operations Forces. These would be Ukraine's version of Navy SEALs. Well, why would you need a diver team to support a diver team? Military divers don't dive to depth. That's the thing. Now, what they started focusing their training on in 2018 was to be able to go to the Black Sea gas platforms that Russia has, go underneath them at the bottom, and blow them up. They were training to blow up undersea pipelines. This is going back to 2018. The focus was there, and according to the report from the school, it was specifically for saboteur actions and blowing up these gas platforms will really undermine Russia's resolve. Now, Russia wasn't at war with Ukraine in 2018, but they were training to blow up the platforms and pipelines at that point. In 2019, they were worried because their underwater deployment was limited because Ukraine's only submarine was taken in Crimea by Russia. So all they had was using helicopters at the time, but they were developing the idea of using mini submarines, and they didn't have a solution. Now, the dive school photos shows six divers. And what's interesting is that when, I believe it was the Washington Post talked about this, Intel services revealed that it was six Ukrainian divers. The team would be that small. And here's pictures of them all through their training. 2019, they finally get their real certifications for depth. And they are working at 60 meters. This is 2019. So now we're really jumping in terms of how deep they're going. So we're going from 30, 40, 60 meters now. 90 meters isn't that far away. And we're looking at 6 years, 6 more years of training, which is more than adequate to give them the time to do that. Now, here's the other thing. At 60 meters, they were training using dive stops all the way up. That way they didn't need to use decompression chambers. So this entire operation, whatever they did, could be done quietly. They didn't need support right there. And this is world-class technical diving, by the way. These divers were specifically trained to do Nordstrom. That would be the reason for it. Now, when we get into the politics of Nordstrom, if we look back at April 2021, Zelensky was pushing Biden to help him to get a hot war going with Russia. Biden says no. Biden waives his sanction on Nord Stream certification. 2022, Baerbock says she's in sync with Biden on security issues. This gets her support in the November election that they lose, but they get negotiated into power with. At the same time, they're saying that Nord Stream cannot go online. And it's not a matter of just supporting Ukraine. The Greens are saying that if Nord Stream goes online, they cannot put their environmental program switching over to green energy in place. They actually wrote on a PowerPoint, the large supply of natural gas tends to hinder the necessary decarbonization. Why? Because green energy is so expensive. If you have a choice between paying a little or paying a lot, what are you going to pay? You're going to want to pay for that. Now, across the board in Europe, the UK wanted that pipeline gone because their North Sea platform, energy platforms, were old. They could still pull gas and oil, but it was very expensive. The only time they actually keep the platforms running, but they store the gas until the prices go up so they can make a profit on it. Now, if you get rid of Nord Stream and switch over to green energy, they can turn these platforms into hydrogen producers. They were scheduled to shutter them by 2050. They were supposed to close. But of course, that's not happening. Now, with the high price of energy, they can put the cost of the energy companies, BP, Royal Shell, can put the cost of the switch over to hydrogen on the taxpayers' backs instead of taking it out of their own profits. That's what Nord Stream did. So we've already been over the political means. We've covered the technical means. We've covered the means of transport. And we can back up everything soundly with a lot of evidence all along the way. Is this a little different than trust me? Is this a little different than, and quite frankly, I really don't know how he got away with this. Fabricating foreign policy that didn't happen. Where this leads to, now this is Biden's economic policy. The Greens are shutting down industry in Germany. That's Biden's economic policy for the United States. Does it sound like they're fighting? No, they're perfectly in sync. With Ursh's story, you wouldn't know that. It's something that you couldn't know. But the real policy, the real foreign policy, this is the reality of it. So it's not a matter of whether or not you need to believe my story or his story or this story or that story. The evidence matters. The facts matter because it affects your life. It affects your future, your children's future, your pocketbooks. And God forbid whether or not we need to go to blast shelters in the coming months or years. It affects all of this. And this is why I took umbrage with that particular story that he was pushing. We'll give you more developments as this comes up, but I don't plan on focusing on the story for as far as the show goes. The Intelligencer platform has opened up, and you can see the transcribed interviews and stories at intelligencer.today from tntradio.live. And I hope you'll join us there. The platform's going to grow very, very fast. And you'll get your news first. This is TNT Talk Radio, War of the Worlds. I'm George Eliason. Thank you for joining me today.